Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure you follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. Also hit that subscribe button. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me is my guy, Corey Waldron. How you doing, Corey?
Happy holidays, Nick. It's our first after Christmas podcast, and I'm back. I'm glad to be back at work.
Took a week off. That was probably like the longest break we've had since maybe like August. So it's good to be back, though. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to anybody who celebrates. Corey, any good NBA gifts you got this year?
NBA gifts? No, I didn't get any good NBA gifts. But I got a Fire Stick, which now I can watch the NBA app on. So it just advanced. It just made me a little bit easier to watch the NBA now.
Indirectly related to the NBA, that works. I was lucky enough to get some Nets tickets, so I'm pretty happy about that.
What game?
January 1st, so I'm starting off the new year in Barclays Center. Ironically enough, I'm going to see the Orlando Magic against the Nets once again. So hopefully, same thing. They pick up a win. I got a nice Nets, like ice cup, which is pretty nice. Also picked up, I got a gift of the book Basketball and Other Things by Shea Serrano. So,
oh, the bastard.
Yeah, so I was pretty happy. I got a signed version too, which is kind of cool.
That is cool. He's a great writer. That's one of my favorite.
Yeah, honestly, like multiple people have asked me, like, oh, have you read this book yet? Have you checked it out? And I was like, no. I was like, you know, can someone grab this for me for Christmas? And I got it. So lucky enough. But I'm ready to talk some hoops. Like you said, we haven't been back here in a while. You know, so much love and happiness around the holidays. I feel like one team is catching shade, and that's the Toronto Raptors. Quietly have the best record in the Eastern Conference, but no one's showing them any love. Fourth in the league in offensive rating, sixth in the league in defensive rating, and third in net rating, but still nobody really talks about the Raptors. Why?
It's because it's Toronto, right? Like, it's – and I don't mean that – I mean, that's a really broad thing to say on my part. but we know Toronto for what they've done in the playoffs. And I just think as of a lot of people, we have that kind of, you know, what have you done for me lately in the biggest stage of, you know, the season? And for me, like, whenever I think about the Raptors – I think about DeRozan and Lowry being ineffective in the playoffs. We know they have great regular seasons. Dwayne Casey always seems to get the most out of his guys during the regular season. They're always that 1, 2, or 3 seed. We always say this could be, you know, the team to take out LeBron and maybe become the best team in the East. And we have the same sentiments every year. They just never come to fruition when playoffs come around. And I just think that's why no one's really paying much attention to this. Even though, like you said, you know, statistically, they're leading in a lot of categories. DeRozan was 13 for 20 last week from three. You know, he's expanding his game to areas that we haven't seen him done in the past. Lowry has been really good. OG and Anubo has been really good as a rookie. So there's a lot of good things. It's just, you know, it's still early, and they need to produce in the playoffs.
Agreed. They left that sour taste in your mouth, especially not just one season, but the last few seasons. Haven't been that great, but this year I think it might be a little bit different because they changed their system. You know, now it's not as much iso ball. There's a lot more movement, a lot more team ball. Like you mentioned, DeMar DeRozan's trying to expand to three a little bit. Also, they've had a little bit of bad luck, I would say, going to the playoffs. It seems like every year, you know, Lowry's got some type of wrist injury or somebody's banged up or something. So maybe this year they can get healthy. Do you think they have a better chance this year in terms of like advancing, or, you know, as their best shot in the past?
I'll say it's not – I mean, this is – their best shot is not passed, only because DeRozan is not – you know, he's in his prime. Like, he's getting better. Anytime your best player is still evolving in his game, your best shot is not passed. So I don't think they're out of that window yet. You know, Lowry is nearing the downfall to his career because of his age, but he's still playing really well. I think they still have a chance, but the window is now between 1 and 2 years.
Yeah, I think one thing that really helps them this year is their bench. You know, this year, 14th in the league in bench scoring. Last season, 26th in the league. They have a ton of guys that are really, you know, helping them out and improving, like Jakob Poeltl, Norman Powell, CJ Miles, Pascal Siakam, you know, Frank VanVleet, DeLon Wright. Like, you know, the last 2 years, the Raptors have had pretty much a terrible bench. This year, they have a couple pieces that they can actually play, and I think that'll come help them come playoff time because, like I mentioned, they've had injuries in the past, so now maybe they can get a little bit more rest for DeRozan and Lowry. Obviously, Ibaka's getting up there in age. And you mentioned OG Anunoby, and he's one guy that's young, and he wasn't even 100% going to the season, so he's somebody who can get better as the season progresses.
Yeah, he's been one of the rookies to impress early, especially because, like you mentioned, He was coming off an injury. His offensive game was kind of raw. No one really knew what he can contribute. And he's been a great wing defender. You know, they got PJ Tucker last year to play defense. And, you know, it was okay. It didn't obviously last long term. But OG has kind of been that defensive stopper that they needed off the bench.
Yeah, agreed. And he's definitely been that guy. Now he's even in the starting lineup. So it's a pretty interesting thing in Toronto. Who do you think they can beat in the Eastern Conference in terms of a playoff series? Not saying that you pick them to win, but they could beat them in the series. Can they beat a Washington Wizards in a 7-game series?
See, this is my one problem with them. All right, so they're 12-1, right, in their last 13 games. Only one of those wins has been over a team over 500. So they're beating up the weaker teams, which is fantastic. It makes those stats you mentioned earlier look great. But they have losses to the likes of the Knicks, the Celtics, the Wizards, the Warriors, the Spurs. You know, they have losses against the top teams, which obviously it's early, so who really cares that much? But I don't know, Nick. I don't think they can beat the Wizards, the Celtics, or the Cavs in a 7-game series. I think a Raptors-Bucks series would be really interesting. But I don't think they can beat one of the top teams yet.
So do you think they should pull the trigger and maybe move one of these young bench pieces in a pick to maybe pick up a DeAndre or a Marc Gasol?
Is it even worth it? That's my hardest point to this. Is it worth it? I mean, obviously, they need help down low. So if you get a Marc Gasol and you don't have to give up a lot, then yeah, I mean, that definitely helps your chances. Because Valanciunas, you know, one night he's a 20-15 guy, and then the next night he gets 20 minutes and he barely breaks double digits. Their big man, you know, and even Ibaka. Ibaka's had a really up and down season. He's not playing up to that contract. They could definitely use, like you said, a Marc Gasol or a big man, but I just don't know if they can get somebody with what they had talent wise.
What's the highest ceiling this team can get, you know, if they do make a trade? Could they beat a Boston or a Washington if they add one of those guys? Or is it still not at that level and Cleveland's still just way ahead of them and they might as well just keep the young guys and kind of build moving forward?
I mean, a piece definitely helps. Let me digress a little bit. If DeRozan plays like he is now, you know, expanding from the 3-point range, they're going to give the Celtics and the Wizards a run for their money without even making a trade. If they add a trade, then yeah, Nick, I think they could beat a team like Washington or Boston only because, like you said, you know, they're getting contributions from young guys. Their stars are playing at decently high level. You know, so an addition of, you know, I don't know, a Jordan Clarkson. I'm just throwing out a random name. You know, that could really propel this team to the next level.
Yeah, so I think maybe they do add a piece, and it depends on what their goal is. Maybe they want to take one more shot at Cleveland and think they could push it to 7 this time, and, you know, maybe they think they can attack that Cleveland defense. I think, like you said, a lot depends on DeRozan. Lowry in the playoffs, obviously we know Lowry's been all-time one of the worst playoff performers. Some of that's been injury, but some of that's just been his performance. And then also, is the bench going to stay, you know, progressing moving forward? And are they going to follow the system when it comes playoff time? Or are they just going to go back to iso ball? I think there's a lot of factors, and we'll kind of know more about the Raptors as the season progresses. And like you said, they have the opportunity to probably make a trade without losing too many young pieces. So I think they might pull the trigger on a smaller deal, maybe not that Marc Gasol or DeAndre Jordan, but maybe another bench piece or just a solid player to add to the rotation.
A side note, too, is Dwayne Casey's job. His job in Toronto is on the line this year. They can't afford to have a lackluster playoff series that I think they're going to have. You know, if they struggle in the playoffs again, I don't think Dwayne Casey makes it to next year.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You know, obviously they've had a lot of regular season success, but you have these two really good, you know, backcourt players you expect to, you know, propel forward. So if he does have a first-round knockout, I think he does lose his job, but if he goes the second round and loses to a Washington or Boston in a good series, then maybe not. And definitely if he goes to Eastern Conference Finals, I think he's safe.
Yeah, I think you have to – if he makes it far, he'll be okay. A first-round exit and the Marvin Lewis of the NBA is out.
Yeah. But talking about trades, we're going to play a little trade percentage game. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a play, and you're going to tell me the percentage chance of him being traded this season. A guy we already mentioned, Marc Gasol.
Marc Gasol, I'm going to say as of right now, 17%, only because, you know, they've been adamant about not wanting to trade him or Connolly. They're still a scrappy ball team with Tyreek Evans alongside of Gasol. So I'm going to say 17%.
17% for Gasol. Reports did come out recently that they have maybe moved a little bit in towards of possibly moving them. We're going to stay in Memphis, though. Mike Conley.
Mike Conley, I'll say a little bit more. I'll say 20%.
All right.
There's more people who would want a Mike Conley over a Gasol.
Yeah, agreed. Gasol's age is a little concerning, and I think people are a little concerned with his attitude, and obviously he isn't having his best season. But a guy I know that you like this season, Tyreek Evans.
If they're going to blow it up, Tyreek Evans is a six-man or, you know, even a starter at this point that any team would want. I'll say 35% on Tyreek Evans.
35%. I think he could be a nice piece to a playoff team if they want somebody to create off the bench. Maybe a team like Washington.
The contract, Nick, is really good.
Yeah, that's a big piece too. I wouldn't be surprised. Like, look at Washington. They really need a playmaker for that second unit, especially when John Wall's out. It just seems like that's an issue. That's a place I wouldn't mind seeing him. DeMarcus Cousins.
It was a lot higher a month ago. I'll say 25%, though, only because you're not going to want to lose him for nothing if you continue to be at this mediocre stage.
All right. Staying in New Orleans, Anthony Davis.
0% chance that they trade him, at least this season. Maybe next year, not this year.
All right. Moving over to L.A., a guy that you like, Julius Randle.
Julius Randle, I'm going to say 45%.
Yeah.
Kuzma did it again yesterday. He dropped 30-plus points. He's just earned that power forward position. I think they got big eyes at a center position as like maybe DeMarcus Cousins in the offseason. So I don't think they're worried about losing Larry Nance Jr. or Kuzma as Randle odd man out.
Yeah, and shout out to Jack Manuel. He just wrote an article about Julius Randle being traded to the Mavericks. Another guy he mentioned that article, Nerlens Noel. Percentage on him.
It's hard to gauge because I don't know what the value is in Noel. But he's 23, so there's a lot of teams that will take the risk. So I'll say 60% chance, especially because his relationship with the Mavericks has really gone down the drain this last month and a half.
Yeah, I agree very much. I think obviously they want to move him and try to get something. But like you said, his value isn't high, but they didn't really offer trade a lot to get him. So maybe they can get something back in a return. Same thing with Randle, you know. They're trying to get something before he's out of town. But moving back to L.A., another player you like, Jordan Clarkson, chances he's moved this year.
I mean, the reports just came out, last week or the week before, that they're now looking at getting his contract off the books to get another max player, which I think is a terrible idea. I would keep Jordan Clarkson. But I'm going to say 40% chance. I think Magic's really going to look to shop him.
Yeah, I think the Lakers definitely make a move and they try to open up some space and get some value for some guys before they can't. How about DeAndre Jordan?
I mean, with Blake Griffin nearing a return, I don't know if you saw the highlights of Blake they practiced, and that kind of hurts this trade value. But I'll say again 40% because I think, we've seen him sputter a little bit without Blake, even though Austin Rivers and Lou Williams have been very good in his absence. That contract and, him needing to be re-signed, I think they let him go.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, and I think they just have so many injuries across the board, they won't be able to make up for it. But a guy that you mentioned, Sweet Lou Williams, percentage on him?
65%. Lou Williams, unfortunately, seems to be a guy who almost at every trade deadline is on.
Yeah.
Kind of sputtering, and who doesn't want instant offense? Another guy, like you mentioned, the Wizards could possibly use, or even a team like the Raptors, if they wanted to get some depth and some scoring punch, Lou Williams.
He's played in Toronto before, too. He won Sixth Man of the Year there.
Yep, as Drake would say, sixth man like Lou Will.
Yep. So, Lou, and like you said, he's always a guy that's talked about, and he can kind of give any team some instant offense. All right, let's get a few more in here real quick. Evan Fournier, do you think Orlando tries to move him?
After the hot start he has, man, I know he's hurt now. He's really dwindled down. I'll give that a 30% chance because I just think Orlando is at that. They messed up bad with the Oladipo trade. They messed up bad with the Tobias Harris trade. They lost out on these guys who turned out to be pretty good, and they're, hot start back to mediocre. So I wouldn't say it's off the table.
All right, we'll go with two stars before we leave. Paul George.
After the recent stretch, 15%. I don't think they get a lot back in value anyways if he is going to leave and go to L.A., and he's been playing too well for them, at least defensively, and now offensively he's found his stroke again.
Yeah, and they would have to get some really good value because they'll look pretty bad, especially after Oladipo trade and Oladipo taking off for your squad, Indiana. And I think they need to take their shot with Paul George. Obviously, they've seen some really high-ceiling moments like beating Golden State and showing stretches of being dominant. So I think they keep that party together. What about Kemba Walker?
I'm going to give him Kemba Walker a 55% chance. I think it's now over a little bit more than a coin toss. Charlotte's on the way down. Trae Young is getting a lot of attention right now in college. I think if Michael Jordan's smart, he'll just blow it up. Jeremy Lamb, a lot of these guys have a lot of good value, and you can get some good draft picks and everything else if you made some a fire sale. So I think Kemba could be on the move.
Yeah, and you need to kind of give up a star to get rid of some of those bad contracts we talked about a few episodes ago. I got one more, actually. Non-star player, Ricky Rubio. He's always a guy mentioned in trade rumors.
I'm going to say only 20% for this. And I'll say that because, you know, Ricky Rubio, obviously, his shooting is up and down. But Gobert has been in and out of the lineup. For Ricky Rubio to really be successful, he needs a kind of big man for the pick and roll. And I think with Gobert, when he eventually comes back, his numbers will go back up.
Yeah. Rubio's a guy I think if they got a solid offer, they'd probably take the move on because of the luxury of having a Donovan Mitchell and you're like, all right, I'll give this kid more ball and more touches. So I think that would possibly work. You got any trade percentage guys for me?
I do. Courtney Lee.
Oh, I'm going to go at 33%. I think there's about a third of a chance the Knicks move him because I think at some point in the season they'll start to kind of lose games. They have a really tough stretch coming up and they'll realize, you know, let's get good value for Lee because he's super hot right now.
Yep. Kent Bazemore.
I'm going to put that at like 10%. I think maybe actually probably 5% because I don't think they move him because I think nobody wants that contract and he hasn't really progressed enough that somebody would have value for him.
Fair. Another Atlanta Hawk. Dwayne Dedmon. When he comes back from injury.
See, that's a tough one. If he's healthy and he shows he's 100% healthy, I think that there's probably a 20% chance because I think they wouldn't mind keeping him, but if someone offers a good deal, it's just like I think that center position just isn't as impactful and teams aren't really attacking that as much as they have in the past.
All right, I got three more for you. From Miami, Goran Dragic.
That's a good one. That's a real good one. This is tough. I'm going to put this at 10% because he's playing so bad. I don't think Pat Riley moves a player when his value is so low. If he somehow picks up and gets hot, I think I maybe move it up to 25% because the Heat probably do make a move. Their roster is just so mediocre right now, and they probably want to make a splash because they have a couple, you know, good players, but they really need that great player. And Hassan Whiteside's been banged up, and nobody's really showed up to be that star player they need.
Yeah, keeping it with the Heat, Dion Waiters, because pretty much their backcourt at this point looks very expendable.
Yeah, I think I'll put that at 0%. I don't think anybody wants to trade for Dion Waiters. I think he's banged up right now, and I don't know if that's a guy you want to add to your team midseason.
Ooh, I like that. That's a fair point. Last one, Sacramento Kings, George Hill.
This is a tough one. It depends on how much I'm buying into the Kings management. If they really want to keep the locker room happy, you know, I think you put that at probably 40% because you want to get anybody unhappy. Actually, maybe 50%. If you really want to get out, you know, people who aren't buying into the culture, you get rid of George Hill, even if you have to take less value. If they don't really care and they haven't changed, there's only about a 20% chance he moves. But if the Kings have really changed, 50% chance George Hill is out of here.
All right. That's all I got for you. I like that.
All right. I like that. Yeah, it's some good ones, some good role players too. But another game, we're going to keep it fast-paced. You know, we wanted to bring back some excitement after taking a week off. So I'm going to give you some guys, and you're going to tell me if they'd be better off or worse off on a new team.
Okay.
All right, first one, Devin Booker.
Better off because he wouldn't have to score 30-plus a game. He might actually have to play some defense.
I like it. A guy that you know, Devin Booker would like to play like, Klay Thompson.
I think he'd be worse off on a better team. Even though his numbers have dropped without Curry on the floor, that's just the Curry effect. Curry is that great, and that's just Curry. I think he needs to have that kind of support around him to give him the kind of looks he gets, even though he's a phenomenal scorer.
That's a very good point. I think a lot for him would almost be like, what situation is he in? Because like you said, if he was in an ISO situation where he had to create himself, he'd be kind of screwed. If you put him with a James Harden, he probably could be better because he'd get more touches in Houston or something like that. So it's kind of like a better or worse. CJ McCollum, I'm staying at the two guard spot.
Oof. I think worse, only because I think CJ McCollum's having a bad year in general. He just doesn't look as explosive to me, and his shot hasn't been as good. But I think he's worse off if he has to be, like, the number one on the team, aside to being the number two to a guy like Lillard.
Gotcha. CJ, he's definitely – I think what you said is kind of correct, is the fact that he's not doing well this year. The one thing that would make me nervous about him being my number one is his lack of athleticism. He's more of a crafty guy. And I think when you start to get more players sent at you, it's harder to kind of deal with when you're just crafty and not necessarily athletic.
And it helps out really athletic guard and like Lillard next to you.
Exactly. And just obviously, I think he's good in a duo. Chris Middleton. I'm obsessed with the wing position, I guess. I don't know. I didn't even realize this.
Chris Middleton, I think. No, I think he's worse in a bigger role. Or in a different role. I think he's perfect as a number two or number three option to a superstar. He's got that great length, a really good defender who can knock down threes. I think he's kind of like a Klay Thompson. He can give you more when he's not the focal point of the defensive strategy.
Yeah, I disagree on this one. I think he would be better off. I don't think necessarily is moving up in an option, but I think out of a system like what they're doing in Milwaukee, I feel like it's just so inconsistent everything. If you put him in a team where that was like so high motion and shot a lot of threes, like somewhere like a Golden State, a Houston, or even like a Brooklyn, I think you would see a lot of high numbers from him, because the way this kid can shoot the ball and he can work in the post, I think he hasn't been able to unlock his game completely in Milwaukee.
Damn you, Jason Kidd.
Yeah, damn you, Jason Kidd. All right, DeAndre Jordan.
He's better on a team
with a point guard.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, a point guard is key for DeAndre. But I think if you just put DeAndre on any team that has comparable NBA players, like shooters and guys who drive, because DeAndre Jordan can only do a few things. He's very much like a younger, more athletic Tyson Chandler. You know, he's going to give you rebounds, he's going to give you blocks, and he's going to throw down the ball. He just has to be in a system that allows that. And almost any – you know, half the NBA teams could have a DeAndre Jordan slide right into their role and be perfect.
Yeah, I think DeAndre's a guy you can definitely add. He's a complimentary player, as long as you have shooters, like you said. I think having shooters on the floor is the most important thing when you have a player like DeAndre who has no jump shot whatsoever. All right, Kawhi Leonard.
Worse. I'm never going to say someone's better. system. I can't do that. I feel like he's got cameras in here watching me right now.
He's like, what'd you say, Corey? No, Anthony Davis.
Better, only because New Orleans Pelicans training staff is terrible and he can't stay healthy and no one stays healthy down there.
Yeah, and I think their management team sucks too. They haven't given him much of anything other than Cousins.
Yeah, look at this too. Eric Gordon left, has been healthy ever since. Tyreek Evans left, has been healthy. I know that's like short sample size, but it's just interesting how guys can't seem to stay healthy there.
Yeah.
So I think he'd be better off elsewhere, especially just like you said, management in general is pretty shitty.
Yeah, and I think at some point another team would have able to get him some, you know, competent surrounding players. Not saying like Drew Holiday and DeMarcus Cousins are terrible. It also just took mad long to get Cousins, and Holiday's been banged up, and it's like they never have had a complete team where he's had an opportunity to actually be, you know, a top five seed in the West.
And you surround them with mediocre talent.
Yeah, and bad contracts, and like you took a lot of risk on guys like a Solomon Hill who's, you know, nothing crazy, and you send a lot of money to him, and just like a ton of mistakes across the board. All right, how about Dirk Nowitzki right now?
Better, because he probably wouldn't be playing as much if he's anywhere besides Dallas.
Yeah.
So better, because the last floor time for Dirk, who looks like he hurts every time he walks and moves, he looks really out of shape. Not out of shape, just like he's just old. He looks old.
Yeah.
I think he'd be better off not playing.
Yeah, I think he'd be better off probably, like you said, another situation, less, you know, opportunity, smaller minutes, maybe a few here and there, better teammates, and just, like, better surrounding for him. All right, Lonzo Ball.
Ooh, very interesting. I'm going to say worse.
Yeah.
I think the Lakers system for him is just perfect. You know, just run the ball, you know, give it to the guys who can dunk with, like, Larry Nance. You give it to the three-point shooters you have in Kuzma. And, well, Kuzma's everything. Who the hell am I kidding? KCP, when he actually hits a shot, Ingram. I think L.A. is the right role and situation for him.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think at first glance, you're like, you know, all the hype is tough for Lonzo, but I don't know if any other organization or somebody like Magic would invest so much into Lonzo. Like, they're all in on Lonzo Ball. They moved D'Angelo Russell because they wanted to get Lonzo Ball. So, like, I think that I don't know if any other team is willing to go all in on Lonzo like that. But that's all I got. Any names for me, Corey?
Yeah, Jordan Clarkson.
I really have a hard time gauging Jordan Clarkson, to be honest, just because of the Lakers, you know, not being that good in the past. I'm going to probably say worse number-wise, but he'd probably be a better player because he'd kind of focus more on the rest of his game a little bit more. I think scoring-wise, he might go down a little bit because he has a good amount of opportunities with the Lakers, especially with Luke willing to bench Lonzo at times. So I think on another situation, his numbers might be a little less, but he might be a better player because he'll be surrounded by other guys and he'll pick up in other ways.
Yeah, to the same notion of it's really hard to gauge Jordan Clarkson because one game he'll get like 30 minutes like last night, he looks really good. And then the game before he'll get like 21 minutes and he just never gets going. So I agree with what you just said. Derek Favors. I'm sticking with the big man. I flipped on you.
Yeah, oh, Favors. This is a hard one, too, because Favors is a guy that's like you watch him every few months when you watch him. It's a different guy. Last year when he was banged up, he looked so bad and he couldn't even jump like a foot off the ground. Then this year, you know, he's seen a little bit more spry and more athletic. So I think he'd be worse. I don't think he would be, you know, any better. And I think in Utah, he's pretty comfortable. And I don't know if any other team would kind of cut him the slack that they do.
All right. Zach Randolph.
I think he'd be worse because he just gets plenty of touches in Sacramento because they're so bad.
Literally, I was going to say, is it just his touches in Sacramento or is he actually having like a phenomenal year? Because even his efficiency is up.
Yeah, I mean, he looks good, but obviously I think like anytime you have the ball a lot, it's a lot easier to be good. Like,
all right, I got three more for you. Reggie Jackson.
Reggie Jackson. He would be worse because I think he's so inconsistent and Detroit needs him to be good. They have to play him. Where so on another team, they're like, all right, bro, you're just going to be our bench guy. We don't have to invest in you.
And I say that, and I just saw the score. It is currently 33-13 Pistons over the Pacers. So whoa. My Atlanta. Next up, Joe Harris, your boy.
I think very few teams he'd be better in would be a team like a Houston, like any team that shoots a lot of threes, and only one team shoots more than the Nets, I think, or a few, and that would be like the Rockets. But I think in Brooklyn, he gets more touches than he would elsewhere. But shout out to Joe Harris because that dude has improved his game dramatically in one season.
All right, last one, Harrison Barnes.
I think he'd be worse because I think he'd go back to being that, you know, passive aggressive type of player he was in Golden State. Because he's not even that aggressive in Dallas, and they kind of want him to be.
Yeah, so, he's still very passive.
Yeah, and you expected him, like, he had some really good moments when he first got to Dallas, and it looked like he was going to kind of turn into an all-star type player, but so much for that.
Yeah, I mean, he's still got he still has potential, but I agree. I think he'd be worse if he goes to any better situations.
Yeah. I think the mindset for Harrison Barnes just quite isn't there in terms of being an all-star. It could change, though. Obviously, we've seen players. Your guy, Victor Oladipo, he's a different man than he was in OKC. So I think things can change in one year, and all it takes is one offseason. But that wraps it up for today. Happy to be back. And as always, you can listen to the NBA Outlet on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and OTGBasketball.com. Thank you for listening. And, Corey, thanks for hopping on.
Always a pleasure, Nick. Everyone, stay tuned for next episode.